Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. We're turning our attention to rhubarb to start the program. And we have members of the Divine Rhubarb Committee with us, with me today in the studio to talk everything rhubarb, recipes and stories. They have a book titled Everything Rhubarb, Recipes and Stories from a Small Town That Celebrates Rhubarb. It is a fun book with lots of great recipes. So we're going to talk with them about Lanesboro, Minnesota, where they're all from, talk about rhubarb, and certainly we invite your questions and comments. Maybe you want to share a rhubarb story with us or something relating to recipes. I hope you do as we visit with the top stock of the Divine Rhubarb Committee, Nancy Martinson. Nancy is the top stock. Nancy, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by today. Jennifer Martinson is the newest stock.
Jennifer Wood.
Right. I'm sorry, Jennifer.
Right. I joined last year.
Jennifer Wood. And let me see if I can get one thing right here. Mary Bell is the tallest stock.
That's right. Thanks, Larry.
Mary's been with us a number of times, but Nancy and Jennifer are here for the first time around. So the Divine Rhubarb Committee. Nancy, how did the Divine Rhubarb Committee get going?
Well, we started out by thinking we needed to enliven our farmers market. And so we wanted something early in the spring, and rhubarb is one of those plants that comes up right away, almost through the snow. So we decided a rhubarb festival would be what we needed. And from there, we had to have helpers. And so I guess I was the one who called it the Divine Rhubarb Committee.
She did.
And we are pretty divine.
Well, you are pretty divine. One member is missing, but you brought along...
We brought along Flat Heidi. You know, there's that Flat Stanley out there. Well, we decided Flat Heidi could come with us, and she's standing right here watching over us.
We actually took a picture just before the program, and Erica Janik, our on-air producer today, took the picture, posted it on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page so you can see what the Divine Rhubarb Committee looks like, and a sort of a smaller version, let's say, of Heidi. This has got to be a lot of fun, Mary.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's a great group, and the festival is wonderful fun. It's the first Saturday in June.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Rhubarb Festival. Lanesboro, our little town, is the rhubarb capital of Minnesota by state proclamation. So it's
all
official.
Right.
And the proclamation is in our book. It's a very funny proclamation. Anyway, we have this rhubarb festival, and it's a free festival. We have wonderful events. We have a taste testing, so people come and bring all kinds of recipes using rhubarb. There's rhubarb popcorn, there's rhubarb chili, there's rhubarb...
Rhubarb popcorn.
Yeah. You dry the rhubarb and then mix it in with the popcorn, same as an ice cream. Last year I made rhubarb, which is almond bark with rhubarb in it. Jennifer,
what have you done?
I have done rhubarb chipotle sauce.
Ooh.
And rhubarb yogurt. And this year I'm taking the standard lemon bar recipe that has a lemon topping on a base, and I'm going to do rhubarb bars instead. So there's something new every year.
And Nancy Martinson, the rhubarb, actually it's native to where? China, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, originally. But we have it growing all over the Midwest.
Absolutely. And we just moved from one house to another house in Madison, state of Madison, to get to a neighborhood where there were more children for our little one to play with. And the one thing we don't have, I noticed, we just moved a couple of weeks ago, and I know we have no rhubarb.
Well, so we'll have to work on that one right away.
Rhubarb is so, it is, there are so many good things about rhubarb. Mary, it's easy to grow.
All you do is put it in the ground, and it is easy to grow. It does like to be fertilized every once in a while, and the best fertilizer from our research is horse manure. That's what it likes the best.
All right.
But it's a wonderful giving plant. I personally have 200 rhubarb plants, so we harvest a lot of rhubarb. I like a redder rhubarb myself.
And mm-hmm.
the varieties that I like best are Valentine and Crimson Cherry. But there's a lot of different varieties. Anyway, there's really good rhubarb. Last year, I got 20 pounds of rhubarb off of one plant. That's a lot of rhubarb.
And it couldn't be easier to freeze. You just cut it up and throw it in a freezer bag, and you're all set for the winter.
So you don't have to
parboil
or anything. I just throw it in the freezer.
Right.
And then you pull it out in January or so, and you make a nice rhubarb pie.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
Oh.
And there's some really good recipes for making all kinds of rhubarb things in the book.
Yeah, the book looks fantastic. But, and I've got a copy in front of me. By the way, if you'd like to join in, did I give the number yet? I don't think so. Here's the number to call if you'd like to visit with the Divine Rhubarb Committee, Nancy Martinson, Jennifer Wood, and Mary Bell. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. For those who might be interested, where is approximately is Lanesboro located in relation to Wisconsin?
It's about an hour west of La Crosse on Highway 16. Or if you know Minnesota, it's about 45 minutes south of Rochester.
Okay.
So we're down in the southeastern corner.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I looked through the book and looked at what you're doing here, I thought, man, this is an ideal little community, isn't it, Mary?
It truly is. It's a beautiful community. It's an unglaciated area. We have the Root River. We have fishing, biking, kayaking. There's a lot of people that have moved into the area that take ownership of the beauty of the area, and so they're bringing all kinds of talents from other jobs, and so there's lots of things going on every weekend. It's one of those little towns that's a success, and it's because of the people that move there. They love it, and they want other people to enjoy it. Come sometime. I know you'd like the fishing.
And our festival is right in Sylvan Park. So you have the river, you have just the beauty surrounding you.
And we haven't mentioned yet, Lanesboro is the official rhubarb capital of Minnesota.
The official.
The official. We have a proclamation. There's a copy in the book. But it's also the bread and breakfast capital of Minnesota. So we have lots and lots of people who come to visit. And if they're not the outdoors type, there's also a wonderful professional theater and an art center. So we've got a lot going for us.
A lot going for you. And I tell you, you folks had a lot of chutzpah, I think, when it came to getting out there and getting on Garrison Keillor's program. Who wants to tell that story?
Nancy's got to tell
that story, Nancy.
You know, we decided we really wanted to get some attention, and so we thought, what would be the best way to do this? So we decided that we would actually spell out the word rhubarb. So Heidi made these outfits for us that spelled out rhubarb. We went to Garrison Keillor.
So each person had a letter.
We spelled rhubarb not only front, but on the backside. So we were visible from everywhere. And we decided we would go there to Rochester, where Garrison Keillor was performing, and we would sing and kind of be silly and hopefully attract his attention, let him know that this festival was coming up. And we were very lucky in the fact that he did mention it on the show that these people were here promoting rhubarb from Lanesboro.
And then
Nancy wrote a letter to Garrison and invited him to come to Lanesboro. And that's when, wasn't that when you signed it, the top stock of the Divine Rhubarb Committee?
You have to do something. You have to have a title. No one's going to believe you otherwise. So I decided, well, top stock, whatever. And then I had my Divine Committee, so it was really pretty easy after that.
And he agreed?
And he said yes. And then, when our town is only like 700-800 people, and we were expecting 2,000 people to come down. Well, this just turned into a huge event. I mean, there was food, there was rhubarb pie, it was just this incredible thing. And Garrison came, and also during
did his show from there.
He did his show from there. He did two shows. And also during this time, they were making the film of Garrison, Man on the Radio with Red Shoes, is that right? Red Tennis Shoes? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Red Shoes.
And so there was this whole film crew filming Garrison while he was in town. And it just turned into this huge event that was just incredibly wonderful. And Garrison spent the whole day at the festival. So he talked to the children, and it was really quite an event.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Well, we have every one of our lines is filled. And questions about growing rhubarb and pies and everything else. So let's go to Gene first in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Larry, I'm a terrible gardener, but I'm a much better fisherman. we have rhubarb, and we've had it many years. It's kind of surrounded by the raspberries that I ignore, too, except when I have to eat them or when I eat them. My question is basically, I will swear that every year there are fewer and less rhubarb growing in the spring and in the summer. Now, what should I do? Do I cut them into pieces and transplant them, or how do I mm-hmm. generate more rhubarb plants so that I can have pies?
Well, let's turn to Mary first. Mary,
what I'd do is I'd dig it up. I'd move it and, you know, cut it in half or cut it in quarters and put it in a place where it's going to get good sun, good drainage. Rhubarb needs drainage. It does. The root does not like to pool in water. And then, you know, put some composted horse manure on it, and you should get your rhubarb back.
And a rhubarb plant will live for a long, long time, Jennifer.
Yes, that's one of the wonderful qualities of it. Everyone might remember their grandmother's rhubarb patch. And we have a family in Lanesboro. We don't know when the rhubarb clump started. It goes way back. And other people in Lanesboro have taken pieces, have taken off a piece of that clump and transplanted it the way Mary suggested. And so that one goes way back.
25, 50 years maybe, or longer.
Longer, yes.
There you go. Thanks, Jean. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Jane in Wausau. It's on to you now. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I, like Larry, have no rhubarb.
Oh.
Come to Lanesboro.
How do I start? I've been begging from people, but that seems to... I don't know. At a point, I shouldn't do that any longer.
Well, people should be a little more generous in helping you out there, Jane. But Mary, you want to take a stab at that?
Well, you know, the rhubarb is becoming much more of a popular vegetable, and just, you know, go to your market and ask if they'll get some in, or get a plant and plant it someplace.
Yeah, I would think, Nancy, that you'd be able to go to a garden center or something and purchase.
Most garden centers have many varieties of rhubarb. And the other thing is, what you really need to find is a good friend who has a patch, because rhubarb is that sharing plant. So just ask him to give you a little piece and plant it in your yard so you have plenty in the future.
Yeah. Does it spread? It's kind of spread?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
If you just take a shovel, if you do have a kind neighbor, and most rhubarb growers are that kind of people, so if you take a shovel and dig up, cut off one end, as if you were separating hosta or another perennial, and put it in a sunny spot and add some fertilizer, and it'll take off.
Okay, one more question.
Sure.
How often do I put horse manure on it? Once, twice, every day?
Probably the best is in the fall. Just once a year in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. So that rhubarb, you know, here we are in a new community, still in the city of Madison, my wife and daughter and I. But I think this would be a good way to meet some neighbors. I can go around looking for rhubarb patches in the backyard and show up with a shovel and say, "Do you mind if I dig up a piece of your rhubarb?"
I've got a story for you about this. In Lanesboro, there's one lady, her name is Lynn, and she has a really good rhubarb patch. And her rhubarb comes up really early, and it's really strong. And And it she a couple of years ago, she said, oh, just, you know, come by and take the rhubarb. This is before the Rhubarb Festival got to be as popular as it is. Yeah, a couple of days ago, I went past her rhubarb patch, and there's a sign in the rhubarb patch saying, keep out.
Too many people taking advantage of the rhubarb patch. I can see that. Well, we have members of the Divine Rhubarb Committee of Lanesboro, Minnesota, the authors of Everything Rhubarb, Recipes and Stories from a Small Town that Celebrates Rhubarb. Should be able to get a copy. Just go to your local bookstore and you can order it. I'm sure we'll find out some more about where to order. You may be able to do it online as well. As we visit with the top stalk, Nancy Martinson, Jennifer Wood, the newest stalk, and Mary Bell, the tallest stalk. Larry Mueller here, Erica Janik answering the phones, our producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about rhubarb today with the Divine Rhubarb Committee, and I tell you what, the Rhubarb Festival coming up in Lanesboro, Minnesota, Saturday, June 4th from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, where you can hear the Rhubarb Sisters sing and you can see Lou and listen to Lou and Peter Berryman, lots of prizes. There are so many things going on. It's a lot of fun. And the book, you're going to enjoy the book as well, I think, if you like rhubarb. There are some great recipes in that book. So, questions or comments or stories to share about rhubarb, join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email talk at WPR.org. And, you know, your authors, you've got a book signing today, if I'm not mistaken, Mary.
Yes, from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, we'll be at the Kitchen Gallery on Williamson Street.
In Madison.
Here in Madison. And then we have a book signing on Sunday in La Crosse at the Barnes & Noble store. And then we've got several other book signings in Chicago on the 5th. And so we're getting around a little bit.
Oh, that's wonderful. But today, 1:30 to 3 at the Kitchen Gallery on Williamson Street in Madison. And then when the La Crosse one?
The La Crosse one is from 2 to 4 on Sunday.
On this Sunday?
This coming Sunday at the Barnes & Noble store in the mall.
In La Crosse. Okay.
In La Crosse, yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Let's, we've got a lot of emails, too. Can you do any, this is from Nathan in Watertown, can you do anything with rhubarb that doesn't involve adding sugar?
Oh, yes. We have so
the
many.
The top stalk is speaking now. Nancy?
We have so many recipes in our cookbook that I think it surprised people. The very first year that we had our festival, the winning recipe was a chili cubano. And it was a nice spicy chili. And you can put chili into so many dishes. We have, rhubarb in so many dishes. We have it in not only in the chili, but we have a recipe for roux beans. We have it with lentils. We have just, a great variety of recipes that don't have to use sugar.
And in the book, and I'm not going to go, we were not going into the details of it, but good things happen to your stomach, your digestive system when you eat rhubarb as well. So we'll just let it go at that, since we're getting close to the dinner hour or the lunch hour here. But it's good for you and high in vitamin C, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so there are a lot of recipes out there, Nathan, that don't involve adding sugar. Is there a time to move rhubarb? Rebecca wondered. You're not supposed to move it till fall, is that correct?
Well, I guess there's a lot of debate on that. I think the best time to move it is in the spring.
Yeah.
Myself.
Okay.
Or as early as possible. It seems to really do the best, but others would say fall. So.
And Elizabeth says, I've been seeing recipes using rhubarb in savory dishes, such as paired with asparagus or braised pork shoulder with rhubarb and peas. The latter was in Food and Wine in the April this month edition. Do you have any of those in your cookbook?
Yes, we do. It seems like rhubarb is becoming a much more popular vegetable to cook with, and we do have many of those recipes in the cookbook as well.
There's a separate section for sweet recipes, and then another section for savory. Mm-hmm. We have a third section for basic recipes like juice and sauce. So lots of savory recipes in the savory section.
A caller who couldn't stay online wanted to say he loves to replace half the apples in his apple pie recipe with rhubarb.
Good.
You can pair rhubarb. That's another good quality. You can pair rhubarb with typically strawberries, but apples, pears, raspberries are great.
Yeah, they're good with
blueberries.
Strawberries, too.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do it with strawberries. Because I've had pie with strawberry and rhubarb, and it was quite good. Yeah. Most pies are good, though. Just to be perfectly honest, Becky and Ryo, it's your turn. Thanks for waiting, Becky. Hi.
Oh, thank you. And yes, what pie isn't good? My favorite rhubarb pie is bluebarb pie. We combine blueberries and rhubarb, and then you don't have to use quite as much sugar because the blueberries are so sweet, and it's a gorgeous burgundy color. But what I wanted to share with you is that people in Wisconsin should just be thankful we can grow rhubarb and should learn to enjoy it. Mine is up already. I'll be picking it maybe tonight or tomorrow for the first time. But my mother goes to Florida for the winter, and when I talk about starting to use my rhubarb, she's always disappointed because they can't grow it in Florida. So one year when I went down near the end of May to help her move home for the summer, I took a whole suitcase full of rhubarb with me, and the ladies in her park were thrilled to death. Everybody got fresh rhubarb, and oh, they were so happy, because they're all from up north.
Well, that's a great... Now, when you went through the airport security...
Yeah, this was pre-911.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't have any problems.
She's trying to steal, or she's trying to smuggle in rhubarb.
Yeah, this year I took her some homemade lard that I had rendered, and my kids looked at it, and they were afraid I would be caught for taking plastic explosives for security.
Oh.
Enjoy that rhubarb.
Thanks, Becky. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, boy. Antoinette in Mosinee, it is your turn. Hi, Antoinette.
Good morning. Hoorah for Garrison. He's medicine to my soul. Just talk about rhubarb. I think the girls would say that the early rhubarb is the most tender, the best. The heat really dries it out and makes it not taste well. But what my mother always made was rhubarb custard with eggs and no fruit. But to me, that's my most favorite. But to be a little on the negative side, I am a kind of a health nut, and I have read that rhubarb has oxalic acid in it, and naturally a lot of us have osteo, I really do. So I do stay away from it unless I make a rhubarb custard pie.
Oh, all right. Well, comments, anything?
That is true. Mostly in
This is Jennifer, by the way. Jennifer what?
Mostly in the leaves. And you should not eat rhubarb leaves. You would have to eat a huge quantity for the acid to cause damage. But there is a little in the stalks. Again, we have heard, because we have talked about that as well, that the quantity is so small. I have found out, too, that it is in other vegetables. It's a little surprising when you break down the content of other vegetables, you'll find it as well. So all in all, it still is, we believe, just fine.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to eat 10 pounds at a...
Most people don't.
At a sitting, anyway.
No, even if it's really good pie.
You're going to be mighty full of rhubarb if you do. That's for sure. So, Connie and Oshkosh, we'll move to you. Hi, Connie.
Hello there. I have a simple fertilizing technique I learned from my dad.
For rhubarb.
For rhubarb. You cut off those big green leaves and you tuck them back in under the rhubarb plant. That helps keep the stalks off the ground because the bottom layer, you know, tends to be laying down on the ground after a while. And those rhubarb leaves decompose very quickly, like in a month or 6 weeks, they'll be all gone. So don't be afraid to pile them in under there. And that really does wonders for the rhubarb. It just grows and grows and grows. I've given that tip to neighbors where I live here, and their rhubarb has improved drastically in just a couple of short years as well.
So you harvest the rhubarb. When you harvest the stalks, you take the leaves and put the leaves under the remaining stalks.
Yeah, tuck them back in under the plant.
Great idea.
Makes sense to me. That's great. Thank you, Connie.
And then don't forget that the flowering stalk has to be broken off so that it doesn't all go to seed early in the season.
Okay. And how do we tell the flowering stalk?
Well, it's the one that goes straight up and has the white...
With a big flower on it.
Yes. That's it.
Connie, that's great advice, and there's going to be... I predict there will be many rhubarb leaves placed under the remaining stalks in patches all over Wisconsin.
Well, composting at its simplest.
Yeah.
I had a lady come stop by, and she was from Africa, and she said that they use the rhubarb leaves in their flower gardens, and she said they're particularly good to put under, like, our hosta plants, that they will keep the slugs off.
Oh, well, that's...
And she was also talked about making sort of a tea to take the rhubarb leaves and let them compost in water and using that tea, and that will help to keep the slugs off of plants as well.
So a little kind of an insecticide.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Connie. Thank you for calling. And Janice in Franksville, it's your turn. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I've got a rhubarb plant that came from Milwaukee to my folks' farm and then to my house. Now, I'm turning 60, probably going to end up in an apartment or something like that. I'm wondering the chances of this stuff surviving in a pot. I put some into a great big pot this spring, and I'm wondering how it'll overwinter. Do I have a chance, or is it kind of a lost cause?
Try it.
In a really big pot with lots of sun.
Yeah. Well, I know it'll get through the summer. I'm wondering if anyone had tried it as far as overwintering.
If I was going to do that, I would probably put some hay or straw around it, if you can, or some sort of insulating material so that you don't freeze that pot solid.
And the freeze thaw heaving.
Yes. Yeah. If you probably could even, depending on where you wind up, I would think you could even probably find some sort of styrofoam or something that if you don't have room to put a few bales of hay or straw around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that's good stuff, and I don't want to lose it if I can help it.
You know, stay listening. Maybe somebody who's tried that in a pot will have some advice, too.
Okay.
Stay listening. Thanks, Janice. Thanks for calling. Well, let's see. Helen in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Last year, we took out some very old mock orange trees that were, all dead and leggy. And shortly after that, up sprouted what looked like a very small rhubarb plant. Is there such a thing as a wild rhubarb, or, did this come from nowhere, or is it even a rhubarb? It's probably a quarter the size of a normal-sized rhubarb leaf plant. It looks exactly like rhubarb. I haven't had any guts to taste it. But what is it? Could it be?
It could be rhubarb. It could be burdock. Sometimes people get burdock confused because the leaves do look similar. But did you pull any of the stalk? Did you?
Yeah.
And it is rhubarb.
Well, it looks like rhubarb.
The stalk pulled out of the ground easily?
Yeah.
No.
Hard to say.
It could have been, if it is rhubarb, it could have been planted by a bird with the seed. We talked about the flowering stalk, so there are rhubarb seeds, and it can be grown from seed, so it could be rhubarb.
Mm-hmm. It could be?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Take it to a garden center. They'll be able to tell you.
Oh, okay.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much I just tasted.
Not if it's burdock.
Well, yeah, a little taste,
a little taste, maybe.
See, we had a listener just send some photos of their rhubarb stalks blanketed in snow, and that's from this morning. Snow, as Erica Janik likes to say. So go to the Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. There are also pictures of our Divine Rhubarb Committee and some other things and recipes as well for rhubarb. A couple of recipes, I think, from the book that are up. And I'm seeing some comments. Someone already said that they had already forwarded the recipes off the Facebook page to friends. So, yeah. So it's we're spreading the word about rhubarb today with our three guests, Nancy Martinson, Jennifer Wood, Mary Bell. They are from Lanesboro, Minnesota. They are members of the Divine Rhubarb Committee. They have a new book out. It's called Everything Rhubarb. and a lot of fun with recipes and stories from that small town of Lanesboro and their rhubarb festival, which sounds like a lot of fun. By the way, there's something called a rhubarb rant.
Yes, there is. And we allow absolutely anybody.
Nancy, so anybody gets up.
Anybody can come and tell their story about rhubarb. And we've had some really interesting ones. Some people really love that vegetable, and other people, not so much.
And some people still want to call it a fruit. It really is a vegetable, but there are people who argue that it should be a fruit.
Well, and, you know, it's usually, it's most commonly associated with pies. So, and pies, we usually think fruit with pie.
That's where it comes from, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. Joan in Muscadet, on to you now. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I have a question, in fact, two of them. I brought a start of rhubarb back from North Dakota 2 years ago. And now, how soon can I start using that? Do I have to leave it another year, or if it comes up, can I use it this year already?
Well, what I do with rhubarb, this is Mary, what I do with rhubarb is that I start pulling the rhubarb pretty much like by the second year, but I never pull more than a third of the plant. So that it seems to me, it stimulates the plant to pull some out and to do that a couple of times during the growing season. Other people say you're not supposed to pull any rhubarb for the first 3 years, but I certainly have not followed that rule.
So I'll just see how it looks and I'll.
Yeah.
And that was my second question. I've seen people cut it, but you're supposed to pull it, aren't
exactly.
you? I've told them that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You put one hand down on the ground and you pull it with the other hand. Yep.
Yes. Well, we love it here in Wisconsin. So.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joan.
Sounds like a good time in Minnesota to me.
I tell you what, it looks like a good time, too. As you look through the book, in the first part of the book, at least, there are some great pictures of the goings on at the annual rhubarb celebration. By the way, again, this year it's June 4th at Lanesboro. That's a Saturday from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. Recipes and stories from a small town that celebrates rhubarb, and they celebrate it big on June 4th of this year. That's for sure. Marion in Windsor, let's go to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, yeah. I'm sorry I can't come to your festival because I'll be selling rhubarb at the Dane County Farmers Market.
Good for you. Great.
And I do have plants for sale. I've been selling them very well. People really like them and I've been selling them for a few years upon request. Somebody said they wanted to get some plants. So I started that up and I'm just surprised how many people want the plants. And I'm on Main Street, and so come and see me. And I agree about putting the leaves back in the around the plant, and I do give them rabbit manure is what I have at the present time available to me. And I have been digging some up. I potted some up yesterday. So I'm enjoying your talk very, very much, and I'm going to hope to come to see you at the kitchen store this afternoon, get a book.
Oh, that's right, and thank you for calling in, and that's a good reminder for people in the Madison area. Divine Rhubarb Committee, all three of them, will be at the Kitchen Gallery. It's on Williamson Street, Willie Street. From 1:30 to 3 o'clock today. And you're going to be signing books?
Mm-hmm. And having a great time.
I would bet that. I would bet that for sure. Gene and Big Ben, let's go to you next. Hi, Gene.
Good afternoon, Larry. Just wanted to recall that Shakespeare in Macbeth has one of the two doctors prescribing rhubarb. And I think it was to... help Lady Macbeth get over that problem that she was having with bloody hands.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's
the Divine Rhubarb Committee will be running immediately to a bookstore to get
Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Well, I played that part in college, and so I remember those lines pretty vividly.
Oh, wow. Man, wonderful. Thank you. Well, I got to tell you, Gene, there's three pairs of eyes that just lit up when you mentioned that. Oh, that's great. Thanks for calling. And Elizabeth in Washburn. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. I just wanted to add something to the freezing of rhubarb.
Okay.
If you dunk it for 1 minute in boiling water and then drain it before you freeze it, it takes most of the water out of the rhubarb so that in the wintertime you don't have so much water as you're thawing the rhubarb that you've frozen. And it doesn't take that long. You can get a lot of rhubarb dunked in that boiling water for 1 minute and frozen up in a day's time.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. And again, Seth in Nisida, your turn. Hi, Seth.
Hello, thank you. I think the question has already been answered, but as far as plucking instead of cutting for harvest.
Yeah, definitely do not cut.
Pull.
Okay. I've always been afraid I was going to pull the main part of the plant up by plucking it.
Well, if you put your hand down, you know, next to the stalk, your left hand down next to the stalk, and then pull with your right hand or vice versa, then you kind of hold that soil down. That's what I do.
Okay, and they're a sunny plant, correct?
Yes. They like sun.
Okay. They like sun.
I've got three in the shade, and they grow, but they're not as great, so I'll be transplanting them here shortly. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Seth. Appreciate it. And, well, let's go to Heidi. Hi, Heidi. Thanks.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Heidi.
You're there. Let me turn my radio off. I know the instructions. This is the root of the Divine Rhubarb Committee.
The flat member.
That would be me. You guys have been so busy, it took me till now to even get through the phone lines. You guys are popular.
Yeah. We wish you were here.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I'm glad to be able to hear your voice, Heidi.
Well, you saw what I look like as Flat Heidi, and maybe you should explain what Flat Heidi really means.
Well, it's a picture of you.
Yes, but people might be wondering what that is.
It's a paper doll, Heidi.
It's a and Heidi, you are featured. If you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, I'm looking at the picture right now. There's a photo of the three members, present members of the Divine Rhubarb Committee, and Flat Heidi.
Okay. I am honored to be there. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks a lot for calling, Heidi. And thank you guys for being with us today. Everything Rhubarb is the title of the book. It's a dry store book, and you can get them.
You can order it.
Order it online.
Bookstore.
Any local bookstore.
And we sell them at the Rhubarb Festival. And all proceeds from the book go to support the festival. This is not something that is for personal gain.
Yeah.
This is a contribution to the town.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't mentioned, I don't think, there is a website for the festival.
Yes.
It's rhubarbfestival.org. And there are local businesses that sell the book that would be happy to mail it as well. There is information on the site.
Okay, so give me the web address again, rhubarb.
Rhubarbfestival.org.
Rhubarbfestival.org. Ladies, members of the Divine Rhubarb Committee, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Nancy Martinson, Jennifer Wood, and Mary Bell. And, you know, someday we will have them back. Maybe we'll have them back before next year's festival, and we'll do this all over again. It would be a lot of fun to do that, and I'm thinking that way. I'm thinking along that line right now here. Coming up, though, we're going to change gears here a bit, talk a little bit about the environment and the world around us with Dennis Dimmick. Talk a little about his career, too. Dennis is the executive editor for the environment at National Geographic magazine. And he's my guest coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.